Hello, everyone, and welcome to Heard on the Street, Street Fights podcast, where we uncover the stories behind the companies and, more importantly, the people that constitute this sector of media and advertising that we all call local. So where are they from? What makes them tick? What business and life lessons can we draw from that? So I'm Mike Boland, lead analyst at Street Fight, and our guest today is Ocean Fine, VP of Agency and Strategic Partnerships at Factual, which is a longtime innovator in location intelligence. So we talked to Ocean from our studio in San Francisco for part two of a two-part series. In part one, we discussed how Factual is innovating in location intelligence for marketing effectiveness and attribution and store visitation insights. We now pick up the discussion where we left off in how Factual is helping brands avoid the data overload problem. So here's our discussion with Ocean. So we're back. My guest is Ocean Fine. So Ocean, before the break, one of the things you were talking about and the differentiators that Factual and the measurement intelligence platform provide is a tool to help with one major pain point, which is just data overload, you know, parsing all that data and gleaning insights from it. So that leads to the question of how that kind of relates to a larger trend that we've been tracking, which is that a lot of brands are increasingly taking their marketing in-house. But to do that really requires, obviously, better in-house tools to kind of gain that agency-like capability in terms of marketing insights, in terms of targeting, in terms of all the things we talked about. So one, like, is that a fair statement? Are you all also seeing that trend? And two, how does Factual plug into that? It seems like it's an opportune environment to provide tools to those newly minted in-house kind of marketers at all these brands. And I guess as a corollary to that, was that by design, that kind of opportune, you know, trend that's opened up for you?
Yeah. So definitely we're absolutely tracking that trend too. We've been tracking it for the last, you know, 5 years, but certainly it's heated up over the past couple of years, and it's a hot topic. And, you know, yes, I confirm that we're seeing that trend. We're working with, you know, I started off like 5+ years ago, and I say kind of programmatic in air quotes, right? Because it was very new when we took out the idea of like using location data. Factual is not a media company. It's 100%, you know, neutral. We're not you can't buy an IO from Factual, right? And we took that out and like very quickly just resonated with the programmatic teams, you know, at the agencies, because a lot of that still was just like programmatic was fairly new back then. You know, brands were certainly not taking as much control of their media choices or thinking about building programmatic teams yet back then. So we just naturally gravitated towards working very heavily with across the agency landscape and brand landscape. But a lot of that back then was agencies with the groups that cared about data, right? Yeah. And those were the programmatic teams, the trading desks, and those platforms. But we've seen a major transformation over the past couple of years of brands. You know, I would say, I think we're at the beginning of the transformation still, because brands are taking control of their media choices. They're understanding, they're working a lot more hand in hand with their agencies on what they're doing, the platforms that they're using, the data that they're using, understanding it. But that's it's a massive task, right? The agencies are there for a reason. They provide so much knowledge around, you know, all of those choices and what they're doing. I'm glad that the brands are taking more control of it. Some are building and have built like amazing in-house programmatic teams. Some brands have brought it all in-house. But I think I would describe that as a more thoughtful, progressing transformation than maybe you might have thought it was going to be a couple years ago, right?
Yeah, definitely.
People started talking about it and we thought it was going to happen like that. I mean, we work with most of the major brands that have brought a lot of the programmatic in-house and their programmatic teams, and even some of the biggest global brands that are investing in that and have like 50+, you know, programmatic teams sitting in-house. You know, in some cases, over 75% of what they're still doing in trading is happening at the agency, even though they have those teams in house. There's just so much to be in control of and do. And for some big, you know, like global CPGs, for example, to have over 80 brands, that's a massive task, right? Mm-hmm. So What I love about the whole process, though, is that the brands are getting so much more smarter, educated about their data, about the platforms, about how they're starting to think about their own customer data and the data types that are important to them. So one of the things that I've loved over the past year that I've been hearing from all those brands that we work with, whether they're working with us directly in-house on their data or we're in high touch with the brand directly, but it's still being used across the agency and we work with them as well, is they're saying to us, you know what, Ocean and Factual, we've been evaluating our data choices over the past year and we're really cutting back. We want to choose, you know, I'm hearing a lot like 5 to 10 major data partners that we work with that we've determined are the most meaningful for us. And, you know, I'm happy that Factual is usually a choice in those, which is great. And even on the location side, you know, some of them are saying like we were working with like 8+ different kinds of location data and companies, and we're evaluating that and really, you know, whittling it down to a couple. So I'm really happy to see just that transformation and that brands are taking control of it in one way or another, making smarter choices. What I also love about that is they're getting some of the, you know, a lot of them are, and this will continue, super sophisticated about the how they're doing it, the platforms that they're using, bringing some of these data sets into their own internal, you know, data. We hear the term data lake all the time now. I didn't hear that a couple of years ago as much, right? Into their own internal data lakes, or working with the, you know, the different DMPs and other types of platforms that they're using and partners. And we've created a whole solution here at Factual, customer data solutions, that allows them to actually, you know, just instead of accessing all of this data across their DSPs, to also use that data, Factual's location data and understanding of how people move through the world, bring that into any of the platforms that they're building in-house, their data lakes in-house, you know, whether they're partnering with a major DSP, whether they're thinking about how to use this location data across other types of platforms like their CDPs, right? So not just for, you know, outbound advertising communication, but using the data to understand how to talk to your consumer at any touch point. And that to me is just thrilling. I would say, you know, outside of measurement, it's like one of the lines of business that we see so much interest in and conversations around, and I think will really be a big growth area for us in the next few years. And you know, that leads me to just sort of, I think, answering your last question, which was, because it was a three-layered question, which was just like, what, you know, where do we think this will go? What do we want to see from how brands are thinking about using location data? I want to see it, you know, I don't even think we're at the beginning of how brands will be integrating this data into everything that they do and understanding it and testing it and using it and learning from it. You know, in a way that as they take control of their media choices and build out these more like, you know, this in-house knowledge and in-house platform, using that data across, I think the opportunity is to use that data across everything they do, all of their touch points. So I would like challenge, you know, marketers and our customers and brands that we're not even working with yet to start thinking about like this powerful data, the understanding of how a consumer moves through the world, the places that they go. Like, how do you use that, the context of that, in every single consumer touch point that you have? So whether you're sending someone an email, understanding where are they right now? Well, should I even be trying to talk to this person? You know, they're busy shopping right now, might not be the right time for, you know, to bother them. Or actually maybe right now is the perfect time because they're shopping at a competitor and I should I send them an email or should I send them a mobile text? You know, what are they doing? So to use this data at every single touch point. I think we're at the big, you know, I've spent the last 5 years understanding where the data should go and embedding it across where our brands want it on the sort of the ad tech marketing side. I think there's so much more that will be done now on using that data across like all the other types of platforms that brands are using to touch their consumers. Which kind of like one other point I'll put around this is leads me to a recent announcement that we had where we're partnering with Airship and Braze, and our data is now embeddable. Our location engine SDK is now embeddable through those platforms where brands can use our location data to reach out to consumers and touch them like based off of where they are right now when they're interacting with me, you know, across my mobile app or other types of touch points like email. That is so exciting, right? That's not necessarily advertising, but that's more of the customer relationship. You know, how am I smarter about engaging with my consumers at the right time in the right place?
Yeah. And you mentioned, like, in terms of the brand evolution, you mentioned a few times that we're at the beginning. Mm-hmm. And I guess that, you know, that means a few things, but, you know, the good news is that there, it leaves a lot of headroom in terms of companies like Factual to grow in terms of an addressable market. But it still always surprises me that, you know, we always have conversations like this, that location intelligence is critical to marketing effectiveness. And, you know, we're 12 years past the introduction of the iPhone, and there's still somewhat of a gap in terms of, you know, brands doing location right. And you mentioned there are, you know, there are some that are highly sophisticated and getting more sophisticated. But panning back to the overall universe, there's probably still, you know, a lot of evolution still left to happen. Mm-hmm. So I guess the question is, why do you think that is, and what still needs to happen for more kind of adoption and, you know, best practices among brands? Is it, you know, education? Is it generational turnover? Or, you know, better organization and parsing tools like you provide to get past that, like, data overload problem that may be dissuading some brands and marketers from diving in?
Yep. So, I mean, I think a lot of it is what you just mentioned, like education and understanding. And I think a lot of that comes with the brands themselves getting, you know, taking control of or getting closer to their media decisions and looking at this data more in-house and just, you know, being there, right? And like we talked about at the very beginning, like these are their consumers. This is their business. Like the main way that they're growing their business is through their media. So like being in the nitty gritty, understanding it, looking at the data, testing it, understanding what works. So that's happening, and that transformation will continue to happen. I think that is why we're at the beginning of, you know, mobile has been around. We just talked about, like, you know, my transformation with mobile, going back to like when you could barely text message and ringtones and wallpapers. Look how we have transformed over the past 10 years, right? And like we've talked about, I listen to podcasts while I sleep, but I don't, like, my phone does not leave my side. It is the key to understanding, you know, who I am based off of how I move through the world, truly. More than like inferring what kind of apps that I use on my phone and making some decisions, right? Because I have a lot of recipe apps on my phone, but like, sadly, I think the last time I actually cooked anything was Thanksgiving. but you know, I really, because I'm traveling all the time, but I really love to look at pictures of recipes and think about that. But, you know, if you use my location behavior, you know, you understand that I'm a business traveler, that I live in LA, I'm in New York and San Francisco all the time for business. Like, that's, this data is truly the most important thing to understand who consumers are. So as brands bring that in, they understand it better. One of the most important things for them and for us as a company, we actually invested in this heavily last year, is really proving out and understanding the ROI behind using this data. We recently finished up a study with Forrester, and we looked at specifically understanding the benefits of using Factual's data over time and the ROI that you see from that. And we had great results. I won't get into them now, but like understanding that and looking at that and really, really, you know, brands learning how valuable this data is and the ROI that it can provide back to them into their businesses and help them, you know, keep their customers, retain their customers, understand them better, grow their customer base, and really tying that to hard metrics. I think I am excited about it because, like we said, the brands, you know, they're taking more control of that. So they're learning that and they're going to see the value of this data. And then as we do more and more of that with our customers, I think then we'll see them invest in it across, you know, what I just said was my dream. But we've actually we have a few customers that do this today in one way or another across the different channels that we do, like every touch point. Using that data in a smart way to inform decisions.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. So we're actually going to pause there for our final commercial break and then come back with more from Ocean and our lightning round. Hi, everyone. This is Mike Bolin, lead analyst with Street Fight, and I'd like to talk to you today about Street Fight in 2019. So we've got lots of good things cooking and lots of opportunities for you to get involved. So we're looking for guests on this podcast. We're looking for editorial contributions from thought leaders. We're looking for inspiring speakers at our events. And all of that really comes together in the rich mosaic that you've come to know as Street Fights thought leadership in location-based media and advertising and commerce and innovation. And part of that formula are lots of opportunities to sponsor content and have your brand associated with that thought leadership. So stay tuned for lots more information and announcements for those rollouts, and reach out to us if you have any questions or want your voice heard in that chorus of narratives, including this podcast and messages like this one. So you can email me at michael@streetfightmag.com for more, and we're looking forward to working with you in 2019. So we're back. My guest is Ocean Fine. So Ocean, before the break, we were kind of wrapping up a lot of the discussion around Factual's differentiators and your view of the larger market and how you are fitting into a lot of those macro trends. So we're going to actually switch gears now to talk more about kind of you, the things that make you tick in the form of our perennial lightning round. So let's jump right into it. So what's something about you that few people know about?
Oh, gee. So I guess few people know that I grew up on a somewhat of a small farm. And I raised goats as a kid, and I had a blue ribbon prize winning goat that I actually bred. So I, from birth to showing her in 4-H. So I thought that was
And we have that in common. I actually grew up on a Christmas tree farm and like, you know, managed it growing up. I did everything from like digging holes to running the business. And we did have some animals. My sister was very into that part of the business.
Oh, that's fun. That's great.
And you mentioned Boston earlier. Is that where you originate? Because that's what we were in Rhode Island. That's where I grew up, and that's where the farm was.
So cool. So I actually, maybe you know, I grew up in a place called Woodstock, Connecticut, which is sort of right under Sturbridge, Mass, but it's on the border of Rhode Island as well.
Yeah, yeah, I know it. Wow, great. Small world. And small states. So what is the profession you'd want to have if you kind of weren't doing what you're doing now?
Yeah. So I've thought about that a lot. And I think now it's sort of not, it wasn't something that I think like 10 years ago I was saying that I would want to do. But I think now, if I were to change it up, I'd still stay in technology, but I think there'll be some really interesting like technology companies popping up that help us deal with the new world around like, you know, environmental changes and things like that. So something environmental, like tech around the environment, as our world changes, I think would be really interesting. So maybe it's not like, you know, I'm in tech now, I'm in emerging things, but I think there'll be a lot of emerging things in that new, I guess, category.
So from ad tech to green tech.
Exactly.
Yeah. And I actually learned a new phrase the other day, blue tech, which is essentially kind of like ocean-based, like, you know, wind farms in the middle of the ocean and things that have to do with like maritime, you know, technology. It's blue tech.
Well, that could be my name, Ocean. Maybe that's what I have.
Oh, yeah, there you go. I hadn't thought about the phonetical similarities as well. Interesting. We discover all kinds of new things on this show. So what is like the company or tech startup, either one today or one throughout tech history, that you think it would be most kind of like intriguing or exciting to be like a part of at early stages or like the moment of inception?
Yeah. So that's a really good one. That's a good question. I mean, I think it would have been, well, there's a couple of them that just popped to mind because I was a really early user of them. Right. Mm-hmm. So I was a really early user of Amazon. And so I just think I love the way that that company has transformed. I love the way that they, you know, I know will be going into new things. Like we hear about how they might be getting into healthcare and they could transform the healthcare sector.
Well, not to mention space travel.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So I think that, you know, it would have been, and it just would have been exciting to be a part of that. I will say that I was an early user and then also an early investor in Amazon. So nice. I'm really happy about that. I didn't go work there, but I'm glad that I bought the stock really early on.
Yeah, good for you. Good foresight there. Now, what's your favorite tech product or app that you use as a consumer?
Yeah. So for me, it really is about utility on my phone. Right. And I guess like way back in the day, I did get hooked somehow on, you know, Plants versus Zombies. So that was a fun one. But I'm not a real game player. I'm more of like, I love things that make my life easier. So I'm a American Airline, you know, customer, and I love now that the app just like helps me navigate all my flights, tells me when it's late before I even look, and I can book anything on it. Like, I just love that. I love Spotify because, you know, I love to listen to music all the time, and it makes it just so easy for me to listen to anything that I want to. And now podcasts as well. You know, I have ADT in my house, and they have a great app because I can turn it on and off wherever I go, wherever I am. So just that utility, and I guess that goes back to, you know, some of the early days things that I was doing in mobile. But just the utility of how easy and how better, you know, those apps make my life. And they kind of like, you know, I guess that's a great, just also weaves into everything that we were talking about what's important for brands. Like, how do you connect with consumers and make their life easier and create meaningful experiences? I love those apps because they do those for me.
Yeah. The United one, I like, my wife is like, you know, global passport gold. I don't know the terminology, but I definitely benefit from that app. We just went to Europe and I was in and out of all those like executive lounges, which is great for me because I usually fly Southwest. So I can see the utility of that app. So anyway, who's someone from the business world that you admire most? And that could be alive or dead.
Yeah. Well, so I mean, I said I love to listen to podcasts, and I do love them. And I've recently been listening to like a lot. There's a Wall Street Journal one around women leaders that I love. How I Built This, I love. So there's a couple that I can think of just recently. Melanie Whelan from SoulCycle.
Oh, right.
CEO of SoulCycle, and I just loved her story. She's just so smart in the way that she built the culture of that organization and the way they do everything, you know, and structure everything they do around the vision of SoulCycle, and the way that they connect that brand personally into people's lives and have created like fanatics, you know, customers that are fanatics of that brand. I just great. And I think everyone should listen to her story and her podcast because she just had such a great perspective on being a female leader, how she's balanced that with her family, you know, how she kind of like for herself thinks about the difference in like, you know, maybe the what she's showing her daughter in that maybe, you know, she is a CEO, so she's really busy, but she finds time to spend with her daughter. But also she thinks it's important for her daughter also to understand, hey, sometimes my mom is traveling. But this is why she's doing it. And she's just like a strong, female leader. I just thought her message was so great. So I love that. And then, I would say Sandy Lerner, her story of Cisco and just like what a blazing rock star she was back in the day of, you know, very few female executives at all. And just the bond that she had with her partner and then husband and creating Cisco and the loyalty that they have for each other as that company went through changes. Mm-hmm. Just amazing. And then, you know, she turned around and left Cisco because of, you know, some of the things she wasn't happy with the company, made a real bold statement there. And then she created Urban Decay, right? Yep. Which is a makeup company. But she did it. It's like it was a very like unique, Urban Decay is a unique company. And it kind of like what spoke to just personally who she was as a human being. And I just think she's a real strong like individual and a great role model for females as well.
That's great. I would recommend, because it seems like you're into podcasts and those that tell those kind of great backstories, I'd recommend Masters of Scale by Reid Hoffman. Lot of great kind of he focuses on one leader per episode and really goes deep in a lot of great kind of female leaders and their stories. And I'd recommend it.
I love it. I'm going to listen to it tonight.
Great. Where are we? OK, so what superhero power, would you most want to have?
You know, it's got to be that I could transport, and so I didn't even have to get on the plane. Goodbye. Right. But I could cover so much more ground. Although I love the free, you know, it's one of my other secrets is I love just getting on a plane and getting the work done. If the Wi-Fi is working, that's like I can make a flight from LA to New York feel like 5 minutes with everything I can get done during that time. But if I could transport, that'd be awesome. I could do so much more.
Yeah, it's interesting. You mentioned Wi-Fi on planes. I'm actually so productive on planes if there's no Wi-Fi because the type of work I'm doing is more like, you know, publishing, writing, that kind of thing. So without the distractions of email. But it's interesting. Yeah, that just kind of like that bubble you can go into in terms of that headspace on a plane, that certainly resonates. So We're almost near the end here. What are some passions or hobbies that help you mentally unplug from work?
Yeah, so it's a good one too. And I would say that my top one is gardening. So, you know, connected all the time. I don't have enough time in the day to fit in all the meetings and things that I want to do. So on the weekends, I have a garden. I love it. I just totally disconnect. I mean, I'm just even wondering if I should install sprinklers because it would make my life a lot easier and things wouldn't die while I'm traveling. But I just love to like be back there just watering the garden. And I love gardening. That's just, it puts me in like my zen spot.
That's great. And seems to go back to some of the farming roots.
Yeah.
So lastly, what are some of your kind of personal goals for the rest of the year?
Yeah, so personal goals for the rest of the year. I mean, you know, a lot of it does kind of come back to business because I think about it so much. But mm-hmm. I would love to just kind of keep on thinking about with my so a couple things. Keep on thinking about with my teams that are working with our customers, sort of just that topic that we talked about. How do we take it to the next level with location data? How do we help all of our customers understand the value and the ROI of what it is they're using and scale out the use of it and make sure that we're thinking of how valuable that data is, not just in the advertising channel, but like in the customer relationship channel and every single touch point. I think that's really important. And learning from our customers, listening to them more, even more FaceTime with them to understand how it's valuable today, how it's using it. One of the things I love about what we do is every single time I sit down with a customer and we talk about it, they're just doing such cool things with our data, or they might be even using our audience UI to like plan and just understand, you know, look at the locations of where their product is being, the stores are that their products are being sold, and maybe they're not even creating an audience around it right then, but they're understanding like, is it rural? Is it, you know, like where are those stores even located and how should they be planning their out of home or whatever it may be? So just understanding and listening to customers about how they're using the data and finding those, all of those unique use cases. And then for me, I think it's also just making sure that, you know, I always want to be spending a lot of time digging in and understanding what are my teams doing? How are they working with our customers on a day-to-day basis? What's important to them? What are they hearing? So like more of the internal, just like spending time with the teams here at Factual. And I guess that also goes back to just like always being curious and learning new things. I think as we grow measurement and everything that we're doing there and our partners, you know, like I talked about the new channels like out of home and TV, I just want to learn from even more from those partners and hear about how that data is important to them.
Nice, full circle. And that's actually a great place to end it because that's all the time we have. So I want to thank you, Ocean, for spending some time with us.
Thank you so much. This was so much fun.
Yeah, it was fun. And thank you all for listening. And stay tuned for future episodes of Heard on the Street. You can find us on streetfightmag.com. Subscribe on Apple Podcasts. Also, stay tuned for lots more writings and multimedia from Street Fight. So this has been Heard on the Street. I'm Mike Boland. Thanks for listening.